Now, boys and girls, I'm going to come down there with you just now, and I'm going to bring a friend with me. And this is a friend that it's either I bring Mickey the monkey, or I have to bring my wife. And I would always prefer to bring Mickey the monkey than the wife, because I can listen to the radio, and we can chat away, and we can get on just fine. I want to ask the boys and the girls, if maybe we could come to the front here. I know you're sitting with your parents, because I want you to take a good, long, hard look at what we've got to say and what we've got to do today. Because you all look so very, very smart in all your dresses and in your suits. And the reason why I bring Mickey the monkey along is because, you know, some of our school teachers would dare to teach us that we began life just like this. And of course, the Bible, and we've been reading from Genesis today, and the Bible tells us, of course, that God created man from the dust of the ground. So I want us to consider God's word today. And I know you'll be looking at the moment and you'll be saying, does that man not know that his tie's out of shape? And does that man not realise that his jacket's buttoned up the wrong way? Well, of course I do. But you see, I want us to think of that portion. What the Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks on the heart. And so I just wondered how many of you knew that the tie was out of shape and the jacket had been buttoned wrong. None of yous. Yeah, you knew. But do you know what? I want us to. I'm not like the Reverend Brown, in as much as a conventional speaker. From Liverpool, we're just not like any other race on the whole face of the planet. Because to come from Liverpool, you've got to be a comedian. And, well, we do things different over there. And so when Mr. Brown said to me, will you speak to the boys and girls? I thought, well, we'll speak from God's word. And we'll focus upon that portion that man looketh on the outward appearance. Do you know what God's interested in? God's interested in your heart and in my heart as well. And so I've brought a bag of tricks as well. Let me get you a bag of tricks. I always tell my children to keep the hands off my bag of tricks. Because of course, what we tend to find is that, well, you boys and girls will know that all too often when we've got a bag of tricks, well, the boys and girls want to see what's in the bag. And my children are no different to the children over here in the province of Ulster. Do you know, when we think about this situation of the heart, we read in the scriptures that God looketh upon the heart. And boys and girls, I don't know whether you realise, but the heart of a woman and the heart of a girl beats faster than the heart of a man or the heart of a boy. Not only that, but in your lifetime, your heart will beat approximately 35 million times. That's a year. 35 million times a year. But in your lifetime, 2.5 billion times. It's just ticking away.
all the time. And you know, oftentimes we'll turn round and we'll speak about a boy or a girl stealing our hearts. Or we'll speak about someone and saying, well, she won my heart's affection. Sometimes when we disappoint our mums and dads, we can break their hearts. And I remember my wife when she was, well, when she was running round after me, chasing me many years ago, and she would write me love letters, and I was sick and tired of going to the mailbox all the time, and she'd put a big heart on the letter. Tracy loves Phil. All the time, day in, day out. Because you know what, boys and girls? The heart, as far as this world is concerned, the heart speaks of love. Because that's the way the world classes the heart. Have you ever seen somebody draw a picture of a heart and a big arrow going through the heart, and he loves she or she loves he, whatever the names are? Well, of course, that's the way the world does things. But you know, when God looks on the heart, the Bible teaches us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's not what I say. That's what God says. And you know, the heart is just right in the centre here of the chest, although there's a piece of the heart that just beats here on the left side of the chest. It is the most active muscle in the body. And boys and girls, if the heart stops, you and I are in trouble. Because if the heart stops, we stop. But you know what? God thinks so much of the heart and souls of boys and girls and men and women that he's encased our hearts with a cage of ribs. Because not only is it the seat of affection, the heart, but also God says that we are to guard our hearts. And so what I want us to do today is I want us to consider a few things in relation to the heart. I want us to be able to consider a few things in relation to what we've got in the bag. And I just hope that none of my children have been messing about with this bag. So let me just have a look. I said that I don't do things the conventional way. So what I'm going to do, boys and girls, I'm going to ask Mickey if he'll just mind my coat for a while. And I think what we'll do here is, if I have a look in my bag, Carl Wallace will know all about this, because when I'm in Liverpool, I'm a butcher in Liverpool, and I would now and again get the knives out, and we'd cut the pork chops, and we'd prepare an evening meal. But I just happen to have a cutting board with me today. So if we get this cutting board. Now, one thing I should have said, another reason why I bring Mickey along, is because if I speak any longer than 2.5 hours, he falls asleep. So if he falls asleep, boys and girls, we're in trouble. Now, let me see, because I said to these children not to mess about with my bag at all. They've obviously been messing about with the bag, because that's got nothing at all to do with the heart.
So, okay, let's have a look, see what else we've got here.
If I take this out, boys and girls, and then if we
power up to see what happens.
It's got nothing to do with the heart, has it? These boys
and girls have been at
my
stuff today. Oh, there's something I don't need to do.
This'll possibly excite Mickey. Hey? A banana. And you know, boys and girls, on the outside of the banana it looks absolutely lovely. But you see, if we peel the banana, inside, this one's not very pleasant at all. In fact, look at the state of it. And if we go a little further, and if we cut it in half, oh, boys and girls, just look at how horrible it is inside. Does anybody want a bite? No? No? And you know what, boys and girls? The outward appearance of the banana doesn't look too bad. In fact, it looks quite appealing. And in fact, monkeys go mad for these. But inside, boys and girls, it's not all that it was made out to be. Because look at the marks. And look how dirty it is.
And then I wonder, as we look in our bag again, if there's anything else. I hope these boys and girls can be.
Oh, that's one of my lad's socks. Would you keep hold of that for me?
Here we go, boys. Oh, how about this, boys and girls?
An apple. An apple. Does anybody know what the heart of the apple is called?
Core.
An apple core. Very good. And when we open the apple, we find that right in the very centre of the apple, you have seeds. Isn't that wonderful? How the seeds got in the centre of the apple. And it's ideal to eat the outside of the apple, but boys and girls, when we get to the core, when we get to the heart of the apple, then it's unpleasant. And you've got those pips in the middle. And not only have you got the pips, but you've got these hard pieces as well. In fact, when we eat an apple, we throw the core away. Boys and girls, that's just like men and women and boys and girls, you know. Some from the outside look oh so well and oh so pleasant, but inside they have a heart full of sin. Inside, just as the Bible says, the core, the heart, it's deceitful, it's desperately wicked, and it's good for nothing.
But then we have this, boys and girls, let me just see.
That's got nothing to do, surely, with heart.
I don't know what's happening with these.
Would you keep hold of that one for me as well?
Because he won't get back. Oh, boys and girls,
what's that one?
A lemon.
That's right. And I wonder if we cut the lemon in half and see what the heart's like. Well, there's nothing strange about that, is there? But if we were to cut it into pieces, and if we were to ask the boys and girls to take a piece and to run your tongue along a piece of lemon, boys and girls, it'd be so bitter. And in fact, we'd squeam through the bitterness of the lemon. Do you know, it looks lovely from the outside, but it's bitter within, and it's just like men and women. It's just like boys and girls. Some of them have hearts that are good for nothing. Some of them have hearts that are darkened by sin. Some of them are bitter and are twisted people. And you know, in the Bible, when Samuel brought all the sons of Jesse before him, David was chosen as the anointed one. And boys and girls, we find that David was a man after God's own heart. He was to become a man who wanted a heart just like the God of heaven, a heart of love. Let me see, is there anything else in this bag? You've been very, very good boys and girls. No, nothing to do with the heart whatsoever. I will give them a hiding when I get home. What's that?
A melon.
That's right, a melon. And boys and girls, when we cut the melon open and we look at the heart, what's in the centre of the melon? Oh, dearie me, look at this. It's all soft and sentimental. Dearie me, look at the state of that. All wishy-washy inside. Just like some Christians, you know, boys and girls. Some Christians who have no time, really, for biblical truth. And they have hearts just like the melon. Soft and sentimental. Isn't it amazing when we look at the heart of the banana and the apple. All these fruits that God made. And yet they're all different in the middle. Do you know, in many ways it's just like you. And it's just like me. But you know, God's not interested on the outside. He's not interested as to how good we might look. What the Lord's really interested in is the heart. That our hearts are right in the sight of God. Why? Because the Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And then that's it. Is there something that we get? No? Nothing at all to do with they are going to get the biggest hide of their life when I get in. Boys and girls, a plum. And when we open the plum, what's in the centre of the plum? And only the Lord could do this, boys and girls. How on earth... Whoops. Sorry about this, Mr. Brown. Right, plum's too ripe. In fact, plum's not ripe. In fact, you see in the centre of the plum, boys and girls, let me get another one. Boys and girls, listen to this. There's a stone in the centre of the plum. And isn't that amazing? How on earth can you have such soft fruit around the outside of a hard stone? But you know, boys and girls, some people are just like that. Hearts like stone. Rebellious hearts Hearts that don't want anything whatsoever to do with the God of heaven. I wonder, do you resemble any of these fruits this morning? Is your heart bitter like the lemon? Is it soft and sentimental just like the melon? Or would it be hard like the plum? I wonder. Filthy, dirty, horrible potato. But you know, boys and girls, when we open the potato, it's dirty on the outside, but it's clean on the inside. And doesn't that just verify what the scriptures say? That man might look on the outward appearance, and that's what we tend to do in life. We tend to look as to how people dress and how they behave. But God's interested in what we've done with our hearts. Have we placed our life and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the Bible clearly speaks of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came not only to bleed and to die and to suffer in our room and in our stead, but he came to win the hearts and souls and minds of boys and girls, that if we would but put our faith and trust in his finished, all atoning work, we can go to that place called heaven and called home. I wonder, as we look at these fruits, do these fruits resemble us today? It's fantastic to be here. It's fantastic to be able to see the boys and girls sing and recite scripture, read from the Word of God, and say poems. Do you know all as God's interested in is our heart right in his sight? I wonder, boys and girls, mums and dads, can we look back to a time in our life when we asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in? Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come in and take my sins away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I wonder, have you trusted Christ as your own and personal Saviour? Or is there still bitterness there? Is there still hardness of heart there? Is there still rebellion and resentment as far as the God of heaven is concerned? You know, when I was your age, boys and girls, I remember going along to Sabbath school. I remember sitting under the sound of God's word, and I had no interest whatsoever in the things of God. And I remember leaving school, always thinking about God, but never trusting God. And never committing my life and soul to him. And then one day, I realized beyond any shadow of a doubt that if I was to leave this scene of time, there was no assurance that I was going to heaven. And I remember bowing and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come in to this sinful heart of mine. I asked him to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And do you know what, boys and girls? He did just that. He came in, and it was a life sentence that I got with him. Do you know, he gave me a few promises. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And though I've known the Reverend Brown for many, many years, I've known the Saviour for a little longer than the Reverend Brown. And in all that time, he's never let me down. The Bible says that Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He wants to be your friend today. He wants to change your heart today. He wants to give you not only a new start in life, but a new life to start with. And I remember many, many years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ given me a new start in life. I was born again of the Spirit of God. And as soon as my all I ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. Do you know what God wants for me? God wants for the children of Londonderry as well. He wants you to come to that place where you will accept him as your own and personal saviour. Do you know the Bible goes on to say in relation to David that he was of a ruddy countenance? You see, when all the sons of Jesse came before Samuel, of course the Lord said, he's not to be the new king. And David, though so small and though so insignificant, he was the one that God had his eye upon. It was only when David, who was looking after a few sheep on the hills, it was only when he was brought into the presence of Samuel that the Lord said, this will be the anointed king. And David, though a sinner, was a sinner saved by grace. He got to the place whereby he put his faith and trust in the God of heaven. And the Bible says that he became not only a warrior, and not only a king, and not only a tremendous harpist, but we also find that David became a king, a man after God's own heart. He just wanted to please the Lord. He just wanted to thrill the Lord in the life that he lived before him. The Bible says, and with this we'll close, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the free good news of the gospel presents to men and women and boys and girls today. Everlasting life. Do you know the story is told, and with this we will close. A man and a woman lived in a big posh house somewhere on the outskirts of Liverpool. And one day the woman was in the house and the husband had gone out to work, and a knock came on the door. And the woman ran to the door, and when she opened the door, a man was standing there with a Bible. And she opened the door and the man says, do you know God? And the woman, she didn't know what to say. She didn't know what to do. And without thinking, the woman just slammed the door and ran back into the house. Well, that evening, the husband came home. And they were discussing one with another the events of the day. She asked the husband about his job and what had happened. And he said, well, my dear, what have you done today? She said, you know, a very, very strange event took place. She said, I heard a knock on the door. And when I went to the door, a man was standing with a Bible. And he said to me, do you know God? The husband slammed down his knife and fork. And he said, did you not tell him how much money we give to the church? She said, he didn't ask that. He asked me if I knew God. He said, but didn't you think to tell him how much we do for charities? She said, he didn't ask that. He asked me, do I know God? Boys and girls, mums and dads, can I ask you that same question? Do you know God? Not asking, do you know about God? I'm asking, do you know God? Do you know his son, Jesus Christ? Have you committed your all to him? And can you read your titles clear to mansions in the sky? If not, then why not trust him this morning? Why not ask him to come into your hearts, to cleanse you from sin and from all unrighteousness, and start today for heaven and for home? Why? Because man looketh on the outward appearance, but this morning the Lord looketh on the heart.